Hi, I'm Anthony Giorgio, and you're listening to another episode of QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right. So I'm super excited because this episode, this bonus episode, I got to go up to Unirondack, which is a Unitarian Universalist camp and conference center in the Adirondacks. And I attended the QSA retreat weekend, which is the Queer Straight Alliance retreat. And I presented my podcast there. And it was nice because I ran a workshop where I talked to the kids in regards to what it means to be queer, and if they're out, if they're in, and how they express themselves. And a lot of them, I picked five or six to express themselves through storytelling, which will be coming out later this fall. However, there was a few that wanted to share their poetry and one particular like story on what it means to be queer for them and like how they came out. Just a little tidbit on their life. So sit back and enjoy poems.
Okay, so I'm non-binary, but I present very feminine, and I had a lot of trouble with that because I always perceived non-binary to be like a very androgynous thing. So when I was looking into it, I was like, oh, you can't be non-binary because you're too feminine. And then it's taken a lot to get comfortable with it, but I think it's really important for people to know that you don't have to be exclusively masculine or exclusively feminine. You can just be whatever you want and present however you want to be. So non-binary just means you don't identify as either binary or gender. You don't identify as he or she. You use they, them pronouns. And that's really it.
I will not change. You tell me to be myself, but what if I don't know who I am? You tell me you don't like my name, but yet you have a good aim. You shot my heart twice with a bullet from a shotgun or a bow, but I just can't take this pain. I know who I am, but you obviously can't see. You are as blind as a tree. You think your homeland at Puerto Rico revolves around everything here in America. I do understand your beliefs and religions. I do understand what you are thinking. But obviously you can't understand me. My name is not your choice. My name defines me, my MPD. You tell me to change who I am, but I am sorry, I can't do that. My name is the name I choose to listen to respond to. You cannot call me by my bio name and expect me to respond. You call me Topanga, 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 on repeat, but I won't respond. And you ask me why? Because my name is the name I choose, the name that fits and defines who I am. You say you know America, but you do not. America is different from Puerto Rico. We actually accept who people are or want to be. You accept who people are, but you don't understand the LGBT. I am not confused. You say I am, but I know who I am. You want me to change for who I am, but you will never do that for me. For 13 and a half years of my life, I have had to act out being a straight country girl named Topanga. Now I'm 15. I came out in August 2018, and it is my time to shine. And you? Oh yes, dear you. You try to drag me down and go back into hiding. No. No, I will not change for anyone. I love and trust you, and that is the hardest thing for me to say. You make me happy, but if you're going to do this, please leave me alone. For all these people who are trans or anywhere close to it, it is hard for them to be themselves. I'm sorry that you were raised in a place that does not accept people for them or does not believe in unisex names, then I am truly sorry. But you are in Binghamton now, so learn to accept me and all the other trans kids out here, or go back to Puerto Rico. I am Jack, and Jack is me. Jack defines my MPD and defines who I am today. It puts all my personality traits into one and shows it in my name. For your information, I have people who accept me and love me, so therefore, accept me or leave me behind. And just FYI, accept people or they are going to kick you and continue to bind.
The Voices by Arisha Kimberly Tavris.
I look out the window and all I see are blank, empty faces staring back at me. I hear voices all day singing and talking. I try not to listen, but they just aren't stopping. I wonder at night if they will go silent, but instead, the voices turn violent. They make plans all night without my consent. Most arrangements I try to prevent. The number of voices is too high to count, but seeming to me, there is no amount. They all have different, varying volumes, and they each have unique costumes. Some days I sit and wait for their voices. Others, I wish I could have more choices, to listen to the whispers left in my ear, or to pretend I can't even hear. Often I stare at my ceiling at night, wondering how to keep up this fight. There are days when it's hard to move on, and in my life I still feel like a pawn. Where is the relief to this endless noise? There is none, I'm afraid. I don't have a choice. So what do I do to cope with this mess? Nothing. I just sit and stress.
Eyes like ember orbs draped in chainmail. Down the cobblestone street, lit only by the moon in the soft glow of a candle, wandered a soul of forgotten whispers. She carried with her the torch and a raggedy leather-bound journal once belonging to a past life. She walked, lost in her cerebral dance, her danse de macabre. Dipping in and out of here and now, she stopped along the way on hands that gripped her neck and on marks that scarred her cheeks. Grasping for something solid, she trips, her journal falling open to the ground, revealing letters of crimson and watercolor. Metallic dams which found themselves breaking nightly into calligraphy and cross-hatched clowns. Rivers that ran in every direction, sticking to the sheets, tugging in the morning. An artist at war, trapped between planes of existence, living half-lives and fabrications, will grant it the bird's eye view. Standing now, book in hand, she continues her trudge. Destination to be determined, she drags her toes, mind reflection of time still yet to come. Scribbled lullabies chase down her spine, eyes yelling at the tune of a make-believe mom. She's double, she's separate, she's not half or a whole. In the pictures she's painted, there's always a boy. Watercolor ways as mama wipes our tears, our fears presented back to us at the bottom of the tub where water runs as mama washes. Our glitter slides, soap pulling it from our back, our rainbow war paint peeling. Connect to me, for I am you and you are me, and she is he and he is we. She holds the world between her teeth, his name choking her from the tip of her tongue. Scream, girl, scream, your eyes are on fire, let your blood run free, let your wolves run wild, you raised them after all. No more smoke in these mirrors, let your chest be bare. Scream for the hell of it and step off the chair. She hangs, barely breathing in, as he begins to emerge, sawing through the rope, laying her softly in the dirt. He wears her in his pocket, sharing the same scars. Destination still undetermined, he winds his way through the streets, his wandering soul forgetting to step with the cobblestones, toes colliding with the cobblestone staircase. If up is all there is, then climb he must before his ink runs dry, the clouds to be his watercolor canvas.
The do-rag is not yours for imitation. Just because I'm not as dark as the people you know, I've been profiled for wearing it. It is a hair care product. It doesn't mean that I'm in a gang, that I'm ratchet or ghetto for wearing it, or that you can wear it because you have black friends. The do-rag is not yours for imitation. It was your people that started to criminalize it and associate it with gangs and violence. It is your people that continue to profile my people and brutally abuse us. It is your people that have no problem taking black beauty and viewing us as less than. We are spoken about as a public enemy and televised as a super predator. The do-rag is not yours for imitation. Neither are dreadlocks, cornrows, box braids, laid edges, language we use, or, especially, the N-word. When my people say it, it is the way we greet each other. When you say it, we know there's a double meaning under. A word that was used by your people to keep us in oppression, and now you think that it's okay to throw it around as a filler in a sentence, or because you have black friends that don't care. The do-rag is not yours for imitation, especially when this country continues to kill a marginalized group. Especially when you use our culture and claim it as yours. Especially when you create laws to keep us from reaching our goals. Especially when you protest our protest. All lives matter. Of course, you must use your white privilege to help your own race. Our revolution will never be televised, and with the enemy, they never empathize. Black beauty, language, and all culture is not yours for imitation.
So, I hope you enjoyed those poems from these fantastic young poets, artists, queer youth, just literally speaking their truth, telling you what something is, how it appears for them. If you want to get on a couple of bonus episodes this summer, you can certainly just DM me your poem. Just got to record it and send it to me and I'll put it on. I've really enjoyed my time up there at Unirondex. It's a very beautiful, safe space, far from the world, but yet there's so much going on there when you're there to make change in the world, to transform those people in our lives, for them to step up and take a chance and do something that they don't necessarily feel comfortable with always, but that's okay. So I'm really proud of my time spent there, and I really appreciate every kid that took part in that weekend, every adult, and much love, and have a great rest of Pride Month. But remember, Pride every day, 365 days a year. Do the work. You have a voice. And thank you for listening to another episode of QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right. And remember, listen, learn, love.